Pentecost is the birthday of the church. Everything that happened before this point, the incarnation, the birth, the life, and the miracles, the suffering and death on the cross, the resurrection and ascension, all essential and powerful and monumental, but up to this point it all mostly affected Jesus. But with Pentecost, the Holy Spirit of Jesus is poured into the hearts of the disciples, and Peter becomes Jesus, John becomes Jesus, Andrew, James, Bartholomew, Philip become Jesus. And that's the real miracle. That's why we get excited about our faith. Because everything that happened to Jesus now continues to be present in the church through the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and me. Christianity is not just an historical religion. It's not just about Jesus. It's most importantly about Jesus in you and in me. The moment of our baptism, the Holy Spirit filled us, and we became Jesus too. Sadly, many of us struggle to believe that. Or maybe we believe it in a pretend sort of way. You know, I love you just like I would love Jesus. Which is kind of like saying, I love you because I'm pretending that you're Jesus. But you're not. Why do you think that I can forgive sins? Because in our gospel today, Jesus breathed his Holy Spirit on the apostles. He breathed his own spirit. And because Jesus forgave sins, now Peter and James and Matthew and Thomas all have authority to forgive sins because they have the Spirit of Jesus. I find it kind of powerful to imagine the Holy Spirit, as in that first reading today, falling upon Peter and Andrew and Jude and Simon. You know, we tend to think of the apostles as institutional men setting up the structure of the church and maybe dying as martyrs. But our first reading describes the Holy Spirit filling them and overflowing them such that they began to speak languages that they had never even heard of before. Bravo to pronouncing all those names, but who can pronounce the languages that those names refer to? In a sense, the Holy Spirit was appointing them to different parts of the world to evangelize. They all experienced the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And it's good to remember that St. Paul explains that the gifts of the Holy Spirit never bring about chaos or disorder. The Holy Spirit is not about rigid uniformity, but he does bring order and harmony. I want to talk about the three different kinds of gifts of the Holy Spirit that are mentioned in the Scriptures. First, there's the gift of the Holy Spirit himself, poured into our whole person at our baptism. We call this the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And it's foundational for everything else. If you want to touch the Holy Spirit, touch your own heart and soul. That's where he indwells. And we need a deeper communion with him here to cooperate with his working here. Second, there are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit that we all receive at our confirmation. Can you name them? Wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Come on, people, don't be afraid. Fear of the Lord. With baptism, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And with confirmation, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are opened up and made available to us. Those gifts sanctify us. They make us fully equipped to be disciples who live lives of faith, hope, and love. These gifts are for our benefit as Christians. They make us complete as Christians. Third, there are the spiritual gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit. These are not given for the benefit of the individual Christian. We do get benefit from them, but rather they're for the building up of the church. In the New Testament, there are lists of these charisms, but the lists aren't meant to be exhaustive. So, for example, there are the pastoral charisms of encouragement and hospitality and helping in a volunteer sort of way and mercy. There are the communication charisms of giving, of evangelization or mission, of prophecy and teaching. And there are the organizational charisms of giving, administration, and leadership. You know, for years, I used to lament to people that priesthood would be a lot more fun with less administration. And then earlier this year, I had someone ask me, a few months ago, did you always know that you were good at administration? And I looked at them like they had two heads. I'm like, I've never thought of myself as being good at administration. And then just a short while later, someone said the same thing to me. It made me realize that sometimes we can get a block in our thinking against a charism that the Holy Spirit has actually given us. And if that's the case, then is the church flourishing less because I'm not using my charism or charisms to build her up more? The church will flourish the more you and I use our charisms. Do you have the charism of encouragement, of hospitality, of volunteering? You can make our parish flourish. Do you have the charism of evangelization, mission, prophecy, teaching? Use your words to make our parish flourish. Do you have the charism of administration or leadership? You can help to make our parish flourish. Don't ignore your baptism. That's to ignore the gift of the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore your confirmation. That's to neglect the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Don't turn away from the charisms he already has or wants to pour out upon you. They are given to bring life, an abundant life, to the church and to the members of the church that are all around us. So here's the homework for the week. Pray with the Holy Spirit in his indwelling of you. Pray with the Holy Spirit with the seven gifts of the Spirit in you, and ask the Lord to reveal to you the charisms of the Spirit that he has already poured out upon you for the good of his church.